Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Life After Trauma with Michelle Rosenthal on CV Radio 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Michelle is a trauma survivor, post-trauma coach, and the founder of HealMyPTSD.com. To reach Michelle with your questions or to share your own experience, call 877-960-9960. Now, here's Michelle Rosenthal.
Oh, good evening. Are there too many shadows in your room today? This is Michelle Rosenthal, and you are listening to Your Life After Trauma, because you know it's true. You cannot go back to who you were before the world intruded, but you can, and I'm here to tell you because I've done it. You can move forward into a life of meaning, a life of joy, a life of productivity, and a life that makes you feel really good about being you. So if you're just joining us for the first time, you can listen to all the archives of Your Life After Trauma and get caught up at yourlifeaftertrauma.com. And actually, even if this is not your first time joining us, on that page, on the yourlifeaftertrauma.com page, you can also sign up for radio notifications, which means every week, if you can't remember what did she say that she's going to be talking about, or you can't remember what time is she on, we will send you an email in your inbox. Couldn't be easier. You can sign up right on the yourlifeaftertrauma.com page. So tonight, we are going to be talking about a topic that I have to be honest with you, I thought it was a little silly, but the feedback that I've been getting all week has made me take a second thought about it. I told you last week that I've been asking a lot of trauma professionals, why do some people end up with post-traumatic stress and other people, they just seem to be absolutely fine after trauma? And one of the answers that I received was that some people are quote-unquote highly sensitive persons, and that makes you more susceptible to post-traumatic stress disorder and post-traumatic stress than other people. And since, as you already know, I struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder for 24 years before it was diagnosed, I'm very, very interested in why do other people come out of their traumas and they're fine? And I lost over a quarter of my life. So tonight we will be talking to an expert in highly sensitive persons. And then later in the program, I am going to introduce you to a survivor who not only overcame his whole post-trauma transition, but he's gone on to learn how to teach others how to become your own heroic self. And that is a topic very close to my heart. So get ready, strap yourself in. Before we get started tonight, I have a surprise guest, and his name is Bruce. He is the owner of Nutrition World right here. So if you're local, you can visit Bruce at Nutrition World on PGA Boulevard. But even if you're not local to the Palm Beach Gardens, Juneau, Jupiter area, this is a topic that's going to interest you because Bruce is actually going to tell us about a new bone density test. And Bruce, welcome to Your Life After Trauma.
Thank you very much. How are you, Michelle?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And I am so excited, actually, to help you spread the word about this because I myself, my post-traumatic stress disorder landed me with a lot of really annoying physical complications. And one of them was that by the time I was 35 years old, I was diagnosed with advanced osteoporosis. So you know that one of the ways that osteoporosis is diagnosed is a bone density test. So why don't you start by giving us a little idea of why it's important, because that was the key for me, is getting my diagnosis, and then I reversed it all. So
right.
Bone density tests are critical. So tell us what you know and what you're doing.
As you said, in your 30s, you start losing bone density. So early detection empowers you to make the changes to protect your bone health. And we have coming in on Tuesday, August 23rd, the Mobile Bone IQ Center. It is a machine that uses ultrasound through the heel to measure and gauge your fracture risks and your bone density. Takes about a minute to do the test, and we give you a result. It's actually, we're not doing it. One of our companies is co-sponsoring this, Rainbow Light, and there's no cost to it. It's absolutely free. All we ask is you call us at the store or stop in and make an appointment. It takes about 5 minutes of your time. There will be people on hand if you want to ask questions, get more information from the company to, you know, tell you what foods you can eat or other things. But there's no cost at all to this.
I love this idea because now I go for a bone density test almost annually. For a while, mm-hmm. I was. And if you know anything about osteoporosis, which I know you do, you're supposed to be at a zero. That's what you hope your bone density test result is, correct?
Right.
So
right.
My spine was a negative 2.9, and my hip was negative 1.7, so I had a long way to go. And what I think is so interesting about what you're offering is that this is such a quick and painless and easy thing to do to take control over your bone health.
That's right. And you know, not only for your bones, but, you know, your bones also help protect your heart, your lungs, your brain, and all your other organs by storing the vital nutrients necessary for long-term health. So everyone should have this done. I mean, people pay a lot of money to have the DEXA scan done at their doctor's office. This is within 1 point of the DEXA scan accuracy.
Fabulous.
So
tell us
a great thing.
Bruce, tell us where people can call you and where they can come to get this done.
Okay, well, Nutrition World is at 2401 PGA Boulevard in the Harbor Financial Center in Palm Beach Gardens. That's the shopping center on the corner with Carmine's Market. Our phone number is 626-4377. We're open 7 days a week. We do close at 7 o'clock at night to give our employees a rest, but if you call us tomorrow, we'll be more than happy to set up a time for you.
Excellent. Bruce, is there any last piece of information that we should know that would, I don't know, if I'm not really sure I want to come do this, what would you say to convince me?
Well, you know, it's all about keeping your body strong, and osteoporosis is such a debilitating disease. It's so easy to avoid it. And, you know, we've seen the people, of course, hunched over and everything. You know, there's no need for it.
And this affects men as well as women, correct?
Absolutely.
Because when I think of osteoporosis, I really just think of women. But that's not true, is it? There was an article.
It's everyone.
It is everyone. There was an article in Ladies Home Journal in the May issue this year that was all about osteoporosis. And the article began and ended with my story. And what I found so interesting about the article were the statistics of who this affects and how often it affects young women. So even if you're in your 20s and 30s, like I was, this is something you need to be thinking about, whether you can get to Nutrition World this week or next week for your free bone density screening. Go ahead.
It's on the 23rd, and it affects all races, all sex, all ages are successful. Can have this problem.
Right. Okay, so it's just on the 23rd, but people can call you between now and then for an appointment.
Right.
Okay, give us the number one more time.
626-4377.
All right. Bruce, thank you so much for educating us.
Bye-bye.
All right, so for those of you who are not local in the South Florida area, but you're interested in learning more about bone density and osteoporosis and how PTSD can play a role in that, you can go to yourlifeaftertrauma.com, click on media, and you can read the article in Ladies Home Journal that included me and an enormous amount of really, really important information so that you do not do what the doctor said was going to happen to me. He told me if I didn't take care of my bones quickly, within 10 years they would start crumbling spontaneously. Don't let that happen to you. I reversed it. You can too. All right, so let's move on. I want to jump into this highly sensitive person thing. I think by the end of the show tonight, I'm going to be much more respectful of it because it, like I was saying earlier, before we talked to Bruce from Nutrition World, I really thought this was a flimsy idea. All apologies, Annie, because I know you're already waiting to come on. But I thought it was a flimsy idea. And then I have to tell you how much of feedback I got about being sensitive and trauma. So here we go. Annie Axford is on the phone with me. She's going to enlighten me. So first, before I do that, before I get her to educate me and you as well, let me tell you a little bit about Annie. She's a highly sensitive person herself who is also high sensation-seeking, introverted, a licensed mental health and relationship therapist who specializes in working with highly sensitive persons. She's the CEO of Sensitive Plus Thriving, where she utilizes hypnosis, diet, supplementation, entrepreneurship, and a number of other resources to provide lifestyle services to create a holistic experience of health and highly sensitive people. All right, there's a lot going on there. Annie, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I am great. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, yes. I go by Annie. It's a Danish name, so it's got kind of a funny spelling, but I go by Annie. Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't I like to be precise, so
yes,
I wanted
yes.
to be sure. All right. So Annie, I have so much to share with you, and I'm really looking forward to what you're going to share with me in terms of what it means to be sensitive. And I think I'm giving you the heads up. We're going to have to start with a definition. But before I ask you that, I want to share with you a little bit of what's been posted on the Heal My PTSD Facebook fan page, because I've been posting all week about being highly sensitive, and there's been a big debate about what that means and how it affects people. One of the questions I asked was, if you could change one thing about how sensitive you are, what would it be? And LaDonna wrote, to embrace and be grateful for the creativity it has given me. And Alicia wrote, I would not take everything so seriously. And Rebecca wrote, I would not take everything my spouse says so personally. So in those responses, are you already hearing how connected people are to this topic?
Yeah, yeah. Those are very common responses.
So let's start then by defining, what does it mean to be highly sensitive?
That's a great question, because I think inherent in that term is that there might be some people who aren't sensitive. And so I think it is very important to clarify that everybody, of course, has some level of sensitivity. We all have senses. But those who are highly sensitive, who Dr. Elaine Aaron is the one who studies highly sensitive people and has a lot of great research on it, has found that about 20% of the population have four kind of main aspects in common that you can remember with the acronym DOES. A greater depth of processing, greater likelihood to be overstimulated, greater emotional sensitivity, and greater sensory sensitivity. So it can show up in a number of different ways, and not all highly sensitive people show all of the exact same sensitivities. Some might be more sensitive to sensory stimulation, like lighting or sounds or textures or tags in their T-shirts. Others might be more emotionally sensitive. Others might just be more analytical and have greater depth of processing that way. And all of them, though, I would say, have a greater tendency to be overstimulated by all of that stimulation. They just have a more highly sensitively tuned nervous system. They're taking in more sensory information. So, and some people experience all of those things.
Hold on, Annie, just before you get any farther, when you talk about being overstimulated, that sounds to me like you're saying it's both a mental process and a physical process. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it affects the whole person. I can describe how I feel when I'm overstimulated, but usually it's just kind of a state of shutdown. It's like there's too much coming in, too much information coming in, and so it will affect both, their physical responses as well as mental, intellectual responses.
Okay, so then let's talk specifically about how that affects the experience of life, and in particular, the experience of trauma.
Yes, yes. Well, Dr. Aaron has some really intriguing research, and I have found this also in my work with my clients, that highly sensitive people are more highly responsive. So she's found that children who were in any kind of a traumatic environment experience greater trauma. They are more likely to have PTSD, whereas I call the 80% of the population hardier. The hardier people, like a hardier child in that situation, may not experience the same amount of trauma that a highly sensitive person would, and vice versa, that when highly sensitive people are in very nourishing, enriching environments, they can get a lot more out of them than perhaps a hardy person would. So we're highly responsive either way. And so being in a traumatic situation would affect a highly sensitive person at a deeper level, and so has great implications for the effects of PTSD.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio with me, Michelle Rosenthal, and my guest, Annie Axford, a highly sensitive person and an expert in highly sensitive people. So when you say that people are that are highly sensitive are more responsive, immediately I was thinking, well, so that's great because they'd be more responsive in terms of action. But I think what you're really saying, or the way that you meant it, is that they're highly responsive to trauma. So they respond and react internally at a higher level than the people who are hardy. Is that what you mean?
Yes, they're feeling it at a greater depth.
And so that would then lead to what internally? Shutdown, freeze state, whereas the rest of the population would be fight or flight, and someone who's highly sensitive might freeze instead?
Yeah, well, I think it can result in a number of things. Of course, depending on the severity of the environment and what's going on, but definitely I think the effects of it have a greater likelihood for that individual to experience disorder and to experience some level of mental or emotional or relational disorder in that area. And that depending on their coping strategies and what other resources they have, it may be, yeah, that they just shut down or that they develop a greater likelihood to be very sensitive to criticism, be, you know, have kind of either can get more rigid, can develop a harder shell, mm-hmm. or else are become hypersensitive, where they're just incredibly sensitive to everything.
Okay. All right. I'm getting a better picture. We're going to pause here for a break, and then when we come back, Annie is going to continue explaining this and get into what you can do to better manage your highly sensitive self. And Deb is on the line. So, Deb, hang on. We will be back, and we will take your call right after this on Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio. We don't heal in isolation. We heal in community. Welcome back to Your Life After Trauma with me, Michelle Rosenthal. And with me tonight is Annie Axford, an expert in highly sensitive persons, and coming up later is a trauma survivor who's going to talk about how to shift out of that highly sensitive place. But first, at this point in the show, I always give you the week's PTSD or post-trauma recovery tip, and this week it is let out your anger. This has been a big topic in my support groups this week. And here's what I'm thinking. While we strive to maintain balance and way of life, after trauma, it's natural to shut down emotion, especially if you're highly sensitive and feeling, as Annie's been expressing, an overload of stimulation. So while it seems like that's the only and sometimes smartest thing to do is to shut down, you still need to be able to release and express. And a lot of times, anger particularly can get bottled up, and that causes not only emotional stress, but physical stress as well. Physical stress that can, going back to the topic at the top of the show, start eroding parts of your body, can internalize what's going on for you and make your whole experience even worse. So find ways to let it out. I just did a whole video about this, and you can find it on the yourlifeaftertrauma.com website. There's a link to four ways to release your anger. So let's get back to highly sensitive people. I'm going to take this call first. Deb, welcome to Your Life After Trauma. Tell me what you're thinking.
Oh, no, I was having computer problems, so...
Okay, so you're listening live on the radio. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay, well, do you have a question for Annie, or would you like to share your own highly sensitive experience?
No, it's different, but that's okay. I mean, it is what she's saying, but, I mean, just in my case, my trauma was living with a schizophrenic mom when I was diagnosed with two, so I shut down as a child, but then coming out of it, like, everything is just more intense. So it's definitely overstimulation, but I'd rather hear what she has to say than me.
Okay, well, then I'm going to take that, actually, Deb. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to take that as your question and turn it over to Annie Axford, my highly sensitive person's expert tonight. Annie, given what Deb just said, when you're overstimulated and you shut down, what do we do about that?
Well, I think that it's very natural. Our body can only take so much, and I love what you just said about expressing your anger. I think that highly sensitive people often end up being kind of like the Atlas of their family and carrying on the world, carrying whatever it is in the family that other people weren't carrying because they have to, because they feel it, because they're feeling all of it. And so one of the first steps is really being able to say no. And sometimes the first part of saying no is just stopping, taking it all in, and being able to just say, I'm done acting in this way, and maybe I don't know what I'm going to do yet next, but that is really valuable. And I think a lot of times we might instead judge ourselves for that. And that's the first step to being able to start to say no to more things and really start to it takes saying no a little bit before you can start to say yes, start to figure out what it is that you do want. And that's the first process of really understanding your own boundaries, your own way of healing, your own way of resolving this very tender part of yourself that's experiencing this pain.
My guest tonight is Annie Axford, an expert in highly sensitive persons, being one herself and being professionally trained to help those who are. Annie, how do we balance living as a highly sensitive person with daily life? Do you have some tips for how to make it easier to navigate the world?
I do. I think that being highly sensitive is very tricky. It requires you to be in the present moment because that's what you're feeling so much of all the time. And so I find that one of the main things that's really helpful for me is understanding where stimulation is coming from. And I find there are four main sources of stimulation or energy, however you want to look at that. Two of them come from the external world. That could be the environment itself, like the weather. I know for myself, I'm very sensitive if there's a storm coming in or if I'm too hot or too cold. Another source of stimulation is then your more immediate external environment, such as the people, the lighting, the sounds, what's going on around you will also affect your energy. What you're feeling might not actually be your own emotion. It may be someone in the room there with you. And then there are two that are internal. There are your body's sources of stimulation, telling you when you're hungry, when you're tired, your body's needs and desires. And then there are your emotions and your own voice communicating to you what you really want in the moment, how you're feeling, what's going on for you. And so I find that, first of all, it's really helpful to identify where is that stimulation coming from. Is this me or is this the weather? Is this someone else in the room? And so really knowing, what is this energy, this information that I'm picking up right now? First of all, where is it coming from? And then second of all, how do I want to respond to it? If it's external, if it's the environment, if it's the weather, you know, there's not a lot that we can all do about that. So I can just accept, okay, there's a storm coming in, and so I'm going to feel a little achy for a couple days and move on with my day, knowing that it has nothing to do with anything else. If it's someone else that I'm around and interacting with, you know, then I can make choices about how I want to interact with them and if at all. And then if it's coming from inside, I can respond and care for my own internal needs then that way. Sometimes taking a nap makes a huge difference. Sometimes getting my blood sugar up makes a huge difference. It can be subtle, small things, but you can only make those changes when you're really listening and knowing where they're coming from so that you can really appropriately respond to them. So I find that that's incredibly important, to be aware of the stimulation you're receiving, where it's coming from, so that then you can respond to it.
So what you're saying is really be highly sensitive to your own self.
Yes.
And your focus.
Yes, yes. Being very conscious of yourself and owning your own desires, because a lot of times sensitive people become very other-focused, because that's what's urging them all the time is this stimulation from the environment, and they lose track of the fact that they have their own self, their own desires in response to whatever is coming at them from the outside.
Annie, if someone is highly sensitive and they're struggling to overcome something like post-traumatic stress disorder or just regular post-traumatic stress, what would be some things that would be helpful in that recovery process? Different from what you just were describing, or is it more of that on a more engaged level?
Well, I would say definitely on a more engaged level, that it's really helpful. It's more of that, but sometimes it's so hard to identify that when you're dealing with so much stimulation going on, kind of this post-trauma rattling around inside of you. And so it can be really helpful to have somebody to sit with you and help you stay with your emotions, because it can be really tempting to feel overpowered by them, or to feel, you know, either, as I mentioned earlier, that you just feel consumed by them, or else you want to shut them off. And so it's really important to have someone there to help you know, to help you deal with it, help you process it, but also to help you know when to stop, because it is important also to take a break. It is a process of really learning how to listen to yourself and what your desires are in that moment, which is easier said than done.
Annie, that is such a great point to make, to listen to yourself, because I think even if you're not a highly sensitive person but you're trying to get through post-trauma stress, it's very easy to stop listening to yourself because you don't trust yourself, because the outside world is making so much more noise, or because your inside world is making too much noise, and so you just need to stop it. So I thank you for making that enormous point. And if someone wanted to learn more about being a highly sensitive person and the work that you do, where would they find that?
At sensitiveandthriving.com.
Sensitive and, like you're spelling out the word and?
Mm-hmm.
Sensitiveandthriving.com. Annie, thank you so much. There's so much more to explore about this topic. So I hope that you and I will stay in touch and you'll teach me and educate me more.
Definitely. I'd love to.
And feel free to at any time go onto the Heal My PTSD fan page on Facebook and post things so that we all learn. My goal with everything that I do is to educate, give us knowledge, because in order to overcome, we have to understand. And so thank you for helping me do that tonight.
Yes, and thank you, Michelle, for providing this great resource. I know this is something that sensitive people often struggle with, so I will definitely check out your Facebook page and add whatever I can there.
For more information about Changing Direction Radio and to listen to our free archives and podcasts, visit changeyouchoose.com.